Great to have our friend Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer, Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry & Swan employment and labor lawyers. It has been a couple of weeks, and so great to have you back, Howard. Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Well, Barb, I'm delighted to be here, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. It's we've missed you for sure. I listen to you every morning with Jerry. How has the start of the year been? It's only been a few days, but are you hearing from people? Is it busy this week?
Well, I'm in isolation, so I can't. I'm not seeing anybody.
But are you working?
Crazy busy from isolation. Now I know what working from home is like.
And?
Well, it's better at the office. It's just harder to organize things when you're sitting in a little tiny room by yourself for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah. So you're just actually not working because you're working from home, and nobody who's working from home actually works, right?
Not in the same way. It's just not as effective. It's just not as efficient. I'm pretty driven, so of course I'm working, but it's not as effective and productive and efficient. And, you know, the Annaly productivity study showed a 21% reduced production per hour for the average Canadian employee who's remote working. So I now have statistics to back up by what I've been saying intuitively for all these years.
We shall continue that.
You're not going to win this one, Barb. I'm sorry.
Either will you, though, Howard. That's the fun of it. All right. Let me ask you about this, because you winning would mean us agreeing, and I don't think that's going to happen. Okay. An Ontario doctor, this story broke a couple nights ago, who went on vacation outside of the country over the holidays, now has left his position as CEO and president of St. Joseph's Health System. So this story has been unfolding over a number of days, and it started on Tuesday. Dr. Thomas Stewart, it was discovered that he had been in the Dominican Republic over the holidays. And in fact, I believe he just came home on Tuesday from, sounded like about a 3 week vacation. He is one of the people who posted on social media telling people to stay home, to stay safe, all that kind of thing. So a day ago, he was ousted as CEO of Niagara Health. When he came back, he had to remove himself, resign from his advisory role on the province's COVID-19 science table. Now today, the last straw, no longer CEO of St. Joseph's Health System. Earlier today, there was a story that he had a clause in his contract entitling him to more than $1 million if he were to be fired without cause. Considering his position and what happened, is that cause or not, in your opinion?
I just don't think so. Look, if he was a two-month employee, maybe. If he's a many-year employee, not a chance. Obviously, there are higher standards of people who set the rules, set the standards, or the role models, and that's him. But if it's a long-term employment, it's just not that serious, a defalcation, to meet the capital punishment test of employment law. So I don't think so. Remember, there's nothing illegal in it. But it is against the brand that he set for himself. So,
and the brand that he's representing, no?
Yeah, I don't know that it's cause, though, because cause is just so serious.
Okay.
And if you can add some element of deception to it, if he's pretending to be here to his boss, to his employer, lying to them about it, that would be cause. And I think that's the problem with Rod Phillips. It wasn't just that he went there notwithstanding the fact everybody was saying stay home, avoid non-essential travel. That was bad, but what was really bad was his essentially defrauding the Canadian public or the Ontario public by having all these posters of him lighting the Christmas tree, sitting in front of his fireplace, yeah. Christmas greetings from various merchants, prepared in advance, deliberately, day by day, before he even left. That's what got him. At least that's what legally would get him. I think in the court of public opinion, we're simply making the trip because that was the story. But to me, the deception was far worse. And in employment law, as we've talked about before, it's not the crime as much as the cover-up that gets you.
Hmm. Well, and I think it obviously would have come down to something similar, a court of public opinion for this guy, Dr. Thomas Stewart, just because of how bad it looked and because he's, you know, leading a bunch of frontline workers who haven't been able to take any time off. And,
you know, Barb, it's a convincing case and you might be right. And it's close to the line. I'm not I'm not expressing any opinion confidently on this one, whether it's cause or not.
No, but I'm saying he may walk away with that million, but I don't think there was any doubt that he would have to resign from his position, in my opinion.
Well, if he resigns, he gets nothing. If he genuinely resigns, if you say to someone, resign or I'm firing you, that's not a resignation at law. But if he genuinely resigned voluntarily for the good of the company, he doesn't get a penny. Unless the contract says he gets even if he resigns, which some contracts do, not many.
Okay.
But some CEO contracts say that.
Okay. 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Our friend, the great Howard Levitt, Levitt, Sheikh, Chaudhry, and Swan, is here answering your employment questions. And John is on the line. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Howard. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling about a lady friend of mine. She's 46 years old. She's worked 16 years for this company, and she makes around $60,000 a year. She's a service rep, and she's been basically turned down for a couple of jobs she's applied for. So between her and her employer, they've decided to have a mutual agreement to leave the company. I just wondered what...
Okay, let me say this, first of all. When you say she's turned down for jobs, that means internal jobs, jobs in her own company?
Yes, internal jobs that she's applied for.
There is no such thing as a mutual agreement. I guess there theoretically could be, but in real life, there's no mutual agreement. The question is, if she wanted to, could she have stayed? I'm sure the answer is no. In which case, it's not a mutual agreement.
She can stay at the job if she...
Oh, she can. Okay, well, then it's not a mutual agreement. She's decided to resign. Still not mutual.
Yeah, mutual agreement because she's not getting a promotion that she feels that she is entitled to.
It's not a mutual agreement. She's decided to resign because she's not getting a promotion. They're not forcing her out the door.
That's
if you
true,
mean they're letting her leave, well, of course, they don't have a choice. They have to let her leave. But that's not a mutual agreement. There aren't many mutual agreements in employment law. Either you resign or you're fired. There's no in-between.
Hmm. I see. Okay.
So if
she's resigned, therefore she's entitled to nothing.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're not getting a promotion, that doesn't give you that's not a constructive dismissal. That doesn't give you legal cause to resign.
I see. Okay. I just wondered if she was entitled to any type of...
not a penny.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, her career ambitions have been frustrated. She's not happy. Maybe she thinks she was misled. Maybe she thought she was going to get that promotion she didn't get. Her job opportunities are being curtailed. She keeps applying for jobs, gets turned down. But she can stay where she is, and that is her only legal entitlement anyway. So if she chooses to resign, she's resigned voluntarily. It's not a constructive dismissal. She's not entitled to a penny in severance. And it's not a mutual, I guess we're going back to the initial point. It's not a mutual agreement. It's a voluntary resignation if she has the option of staying.
John, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to take a break. Howard Levitt is here, 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Your employment law questions answered. This is your free advice portion, right, Howard?
You bet.
The phone call is the free advice. 416-872-1010. Give us a call. Howard Levitt is here. Employment lawyer Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer. Howard Levitt of Levitt, Sheikh, Chaudhry and Swan Employment and Labor Lawyers. He is with us till 9 o'clock. And if you have any questions regarding your employment situation, 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Howard Levitt, we have you with us.
You have me with you.
Fantastic. Our timing sounds good. I know you had a little delay issue the other day with Jerry.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened.
Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Hello? Howard? Okay, we're not hearing Howard, so we're going to have a phone call. There's this, it's a technology thing, people. What can I say? There are a couple ways
I'm back, I'm here.
Oh, you're back. Oh, magically, here you are. Okay, just don't move.
Barb, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Oh, man. Mark, can you just give him a call? How about you just give him a call? how about now?
You know what? I think I'm back on. I think I knew something plugged out. I'm so sorry. I've got to get used to the devices you're used to every single day, but I'm just trying them on. To me, it's an experiment, but I think better sound quality.
Quality is quite good. You know, I wanted to ask you about something that I heard, and I believe it was one day this week. It reminded me of this when the last caller phoned in. I can't remember the details, but there was a woman who called when you were on with Jerry, and she was telling you the story about a situation that happened with her work, and this happened and that happened, and it all would have been very constructive dismissally until she said, and so I resigned, and she wanted to know what she was entitled to, and you said absolutely nothing.
If she really had been, I don't remember the conversation, Barb, in fairness, but if she really had been constructively dismissed and she reached that point, then you do resign, and that's a constructive dismissal. First of all, you put your warnings in writing, but I presume she just hadn't reached the point of it being a constructive dismissal. And sometimes people jump the gun, or they don't like the job, or it's too oppressive for them, but objectively it's not oppressive. And people listen to echo chambers. They have their friends telling them how terrible it is because they want to hear that. So they tell their friends their side of the story. Their friends reflect it back, and they think they've got this terrible situation. But when it's all played out and you hear the employer's side of the story, a judge says, you know what? You should have stuck it out. I'm not going to pay you money to go away.
I remember you saying something like that about the echo chamber, and it's so true. If people have people in their lives who, yeah, that's terrible, and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with that. But if somebody feels like they're in a situation of constructive dismissal, they should probably get some legal advice before they make a move, right?
Well, absolutely. For one thing, they're going to have someone like me saying, this is nonsense, suck it up, buttercup, get back to work. You're going to lose your case. They need somebody who's not going to be a cheerleader. And most people have cheerleaders, one, because it's too much of a pain to fight with them, and when they're telling how terrible it is and you tell them and you're a naysayer, you're going to lose a friend. And secondly, because their version of events is terrible, but it's their version of events. Whereas a lawyer who's been doing it a while, you can pierce through and say, well, I wonder about this. I wonder about that. What would they say about this? Well, they have. Might they say this? Well, in fact, that's what they've been saying. Say, well, you know what? Here's the letter we're going to write to try and concretize this. But if you can't accomplish it that way, then you're going to have a big problem with this case.
Just looking up concretize and 416-872-1010. I love your words.
Substantiate.
Thank you. Okay, here is Matthew. Welcome to
the
show, Matthew.
Put in concrete terms. You know, sometimes,
oh, concretize. Okay, yeah, now that makes sense.
Yeah, words
I
are
didn't
illiterate
quite get
if
it.
They mean what they say.
No, I love that. I always learn new words listening to you. Do we have Matthew? Hi, Matthew. Go ahead.
Hi, Barb. Hi, Howard. I heard the previous conversation with respect to mutual agreement, and it got me thinking about two topics. One, negotiation of an early retirement, and then two, where the employee and the employer are at a bit of a standoff with respect to severance, in that the employer doesn't quite want to get rid of the employee because they think the severance liability is
too much.
And the employee doesn't want to leave because they don't want to sacrifice their potential severance. I'm just wondering what your advice and observations are in that regard. I appreciate it's a bit of a wide open question.
Oh, no, here you go. When I'm acting for employers, which I do much of the time, as well as employees, when an employee starts talking about asking for a severance package so they can leave, I say to my client, you know what, they're probably going to leave anyway. So why pay them anything? And then it becomes a bit of a game of chicken. They want to leave, but they don't want to leave unless they get enough money. The employer thinks they're going to leave anyway, so I pay them much money. And eventually, you might or might not get a negotiation going, but it's the wrong way to do it. The better way to do it is, frankly, just be a bit of a pain in the ass, but without going so far as to cause the employer will want to get rid of you.
Interesting.
And then you can say, look, if you want to get rid of me, tell me what you're prepared to pay me, then I'll consider it. But don't say, I want to leave. Because then you've killed all your bargaining power.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Thanks, Howard. Thanks, Barb.
There you go, Matthew. Anytime.
Thank you very much. That was pretty easy, considering it was a fairly wide open question.
I know where people are coming from. I've been under this for 42 years. I get it. I get what people are really
Have you
thinking.
Heard it all? Have you heard and seen it all?
I think I have, actually.
Yeah.
And many multiple. It's just a matter at this point of how good my memory is, how many times that I've passed I can remember. But I think I've seen it all, heard it all.
Okay.
I have a quick answer for it all.
416-872-1010. Sarah is up next. Let's see. Something's funny with the lines. Here we go. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, I have a question. We have an incorporated company that we had applied for the COVID relief program, the $40,000, of which we've used $18,000. The bank has since frozen our funds. I had applied for our consumer relief. I'm just one of the company members that does logistics for the company.
Can I stop you now? I'm an employment lawyer. This is not an employment law question. And I don't want to give potentially negligent advice outside of my bailiwick. I can guess at what the answer might be, but it'd be a guess, and I don't want to, you know, it's not my area of expertise. Okay, I help employers and employees with their particular situation, not their tax problems, not what benefits they can get from the government, except in some cases, but generally their interpersonal problems between employers and employees.
So how would
what rights flow?
Information on where to proceed from the point that I'm at.
Well, I'm an employment lawyer, so I can't really speak to that. I'd start off by Googling it. I'd start off, and then I'd follow up. In fact, I'd go first to call the government agency and ask them if we get somebody on the phone.
I asked them, and they advised me that, you know, that money was released to the company and it's got nothing to do with the bank, but the bank is still holding the funds.
You know, again, ma'am, it's just outside of my bailiwick. And one thing you learn as a lawyer, or you better learn as a lawyer if you want to continue being a lawyer, don't give advice that could be negligent because it's outside of your bailiwick.
All right. And that sounds like good advice. And you know what? That's also a sign of experience, because some people just want to answer the call, decide what their answer is. And I think it's really important. Don't you think generally in life, Howard, for people to say, I don't know the answer? People don't do that often enough.
True. But in law, you're trained to do that, because when I give advice, it's called the Hedley Byrne Doctrine. It's a House of Lords decision. I can be sued for negligent advice.
Exactly.
I have Law Pro insurance, but you don't want to go down that well, and it's only comes to a certain limit. And everything you say, you could be sued for if it's negligent. So you learn quickly, hopefully, or you know in advance, don't give advice that could be negligent. If you don't know the answer, either research it and then give the answer, or decline. So I'm not going to answer a question about what government benefits she might be entitled to in relation with the bank and the government and certain loans that she was given, when I really haven't read any of the paperwork, don't know any of the context, have no background, and it's outside. It's not even employment law. That would just be foolish.
Of course. No, and it makes sense as a lawyer that you could be sued for doing that. Interesting.
In a way, you could not be, because experts are deemed to make representations that could be relied upon by members of the public, and even people they tell in turn can sue you. So you learn quickly not to say things that could.
Right. But in our case, we're actually paid to give our opinion. Doesn't have
to
be.
We've been together, which are at this point some years, giving.
Oh, Howard's going in and out. We're losing.
But you're not going to get sued. You can't get sued for it. And it's an opinion. It's not legal advice.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Can you
know
hear
what?
Me again?
I can. I have one more question for you. We're almost out of time, but I wonder if we can answer this one quickly. Somebody writes, I work at the library
part.
Okay. I work at the library part time, not in a union. I get my vacation pay a bit on each check. I would rather have it in one lump sum. What does the law say?
The law says you get your vacation pay when you take your vacations. If you don't take any vacation, you can get it at the end of the year, but you won't get vacation time. But generally, you don't get to choose when you get your vacation. You get your vacation pay when you take your vacation. You don't get to choose when you get your vacation pay either. And by the way, the employer can choose when you get your vacation, and therefore when you get your vacation pay. Some employers and employees agree they get all their vacation pay with every, so they get an extra 4% with every single pay period. Mm-hmm. But the employer and employee have to actually physically sign an agreement to that effect for it to be legal.
Okay, but they're getting it a bit on each check, but they would rather have one lump sum.
they have a right to have one lump sum. Okay. The employer has no right to give it to them on each check, and it's illegal. It's a violation of Employment Standards Act to do so unless the employee has signed an agreement agreeing to that.
Okay. Howard Levitt, as always, great to have you
on.
It's
funny, Barb, there's been so many vacation pay questions this week, I guess because people haven't been working and therefore are wondering if they can access that vacation pay.
For sure. Great to have you with us. Thank you, Howard Levitt, and we will talk to you next week.
Speak then. Thanks, Barb. Okay.
Howard Levitt, Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry, and Swan, you're listening to The Night Side.